point, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No. It's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, you've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it.
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Oh, fucking take all you want!
Hello,
gentlemen.
Hello.
What's up?
Wow. Compensating. Excellent. I like that.
Yes, always.
Speak in a loud, clear voice, Scapegoat.
Yes, of course.
Don't either of you do your radio voice, please.
Why not?
I don't have a radio voice, OG.
This is how I speak in real life.
For the love of all that is holy, for the sake of our listeners, please do not subject them.
Well, you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 280-something.
Nine.
Wow, is it only? Wow, really?
Yes.
Wow. That means 300 is only 11 episodes
away.
That's
like 4 months.
That's correct.
11.
I'm building in summertime in there.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
We both know, or all three of us know, that the likelihood of us missing a week here or there between now and 300 is probably...
What? Why? That's because irresponsible.
And we tend to be irresponsible. We've been doing this show for 7 years. Irresponsibly.
It's longer than 7 years, sir.
Almost. No, it's seven and change.
I think Scapegoat has been here nearly 7 weeks.
No, it hasn't been that long yet, has it? I feel as though it's only like four or five.
He was here, and then he was gone.
I'm gonna say four or five.
Yeah,
and
then he did like a bunch.
I think it's been... I want to say this is his fourth consecutive episode.
Scapegoat becoming a very popular character, not unlike Big Rat.
Is he popular with Big Rat?
No, like, on the same level.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
Don't know if I'm getting insulted
or not. Less
hair than
Big Rat,
though. See, that's not really.
Wow.
You know
well, this must be fun
is.
For both of you guys.
Big Rat was a puppet.
Big Rat, it's on the page, on the show page, under cast.
Is he up there?
I
think he's up there, right?
Yeah.
We haven't had Big Rat. Big Rat hasn't been around since the studio moved.
Well, you know, Big Rat got a lot of jobs.
Big Rat's busy.
So
he's making the cheese.
I'm really trying to get a superior surprise for... I'm trying to get a superior surprise for episode 300.
All right.
I don't know that needs to be Big Rat, but I wouldn't mind, like, around the 300 time period, bringing back some of those old characters.
If they're around, then...
You know, like Angry Dan's Random Rant.
If they're the Bad Mother Canucker.
The Bad Mother Canucker, right? A couple of other dignitaries.
No offense to any of the people who have sat in that chair.
Right.
But they have had some terrible names. They really have.
In the producer's chair or in the
I'm just in the third
chair.
The third chair.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't Retailer X.
Yeah, Retailer X. That was an okay one.
You didn't like Bad Mother Knucker?
Bad Mother Knucker was terrible.
He came up with that.
I don't doubt that he did.
That was for you newer listeners. This is the guy who used to do our professional wrestling news.
He did Bad Mother Knucker because he was afraid to mention Owen Hart in any capacity. As a matter of fact, was that before?
I'd have to look at the dates.
It wasn't before. Was it before his Owen is what I was getting at.
I don't remember.
I think it was, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
But anyway, we have a show.
An Angry Dan's Random Rants.
Which actually became, Angry Dan, if you're still listening, Angry Dan's Drunken Slurred Rants.
Drunken Slurred Rants, yeah.
Which were still very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny
stuff.
Well received by most of the listeners back in the day. That might have been the single digits, by the way.
Yeah.
Some of those.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not single digits.
The first one might have been like 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'd have to look
I think
that.
So. But I could be wrong.
Do you know, Scapegoat and I were discussing something the other day that we feel that perhaps you and I, also in celebration of episode 300,
yeah,
should start pulling clips.
Okay.
And put together an episode. This could be a vacation episode where it's just our favorite clips. And then, like a clip show.
The problem
like
with
a worst
that,
of, or best of.
And
can't say worst of, because the old fucking guys do that.
But the only issue with that is that you have a memory like, well, you have no memory.
What?
And I barely have a memory. I wouldn't.
Damn you.
I mean, we would have to listen to 289 episodes.
Listen. No, but see, here's the beauty of that. We can recall enough clips that we can just go try to find.
Sure.
Use the photo galleries as kind of reference. Because I know there's definitely...
I got one right off the top of my head.
What's yours?
Oh, I'm pulling the Nano Dots clip.
But that's not even that long ago.
No, that one I can find easily.
You know what I'm pulling?
What?
Just Mike's brand new Green Lantern neon sign.
Was that the same episode with the broken chair? Was that all one episode?
No, that was two episodes. That was two episodes. Broken chair might be an episode. What about... What about the Young Avengers box set?
That was a good episode.
See, if we just think about it.
I'm going to pull clips from the Lost episode. I'm going to just put Dead Air.
The Lost episode.
The Timony episode.
No, we could pull.
Remember?
Yeah, we could pull the. Listen, we're writing the show right now. We could pull the first Felicia Day interview.
Sure. Sure.
That's certainly a piece of cringeworthy radio if I've ever heard one.
That sure is.
So there you go. There's
I'm sure we could just pull some stuff from the very first episode. Just because.
I play the whole first episode.
That would also be cringeworthy,
Mike.
That'd
be terrible. No, I'm just saying there's, I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you another one.
What?
What about the Jim Lee's voicemail bit?
That's episode 19 and 20, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'm saying montage. I'm saying... We pull clips.
All right.
The road to 300.
There you go.
Something like that.
Simple.
Yeah,
that's put it on the web.
This is why Scapegoat got the chair.
Road to 300.
This and no one else wanted it.
Hey, I was hotly contested.
I fought no one really hard. You did fight no one really hard.
That was a good nickname.
You shadowboxed awesomely.
Yeah. There was a guy.
It was actually chess boxing.
There was a guy came in looking exactly like Monitor, but with a beard.
Yeah, word.
And so
we kicked him right out.
We kicked him right out.
Because I'm still not convinced.
I don't think it was. I think it could be him.
Cousin of Monitor.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Son of Monitor. Slightly smaller.
Earth 2.
Yeah. Earth 2 Monitor. Hit boobs.
Anyway. So we're calling episode 289 as we begin the road to 300. Well played, Scapegoat.
Yes.
The road to 300, and we're going to call it That 70s Mutant.
That's right.
And we'll get to why in tonight's news portion of the program.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
You're motioning to me?
Oh, no.
Would you like me to... I thought maybe you'd want to say, you can follow Scapegoat on Twitter now.
No. He doesn't get the plug.
Listen.
No.
Here's why he has to get the plug.
No, he doesn't get
because,
the plug.
No, he has to get the plug because his Twitter reviews, tweet views of the Free Comic Book Day comics
That's right.
are going to be starting tomorrow at his Twitter. You must needs all right, follow
so,
him.
So what is your Twitter?
It is scapegoatgs. Very simple.
Pretty easy. And I will tweet that out later.
Yeah, scapegoatgs.
Just in case.
Easy. At the Twitter.
And expect me to be retweeting and anything he tweets tomorrow.
Right. So you can mooch off my followers.
So you can follow not only...
All two of you followers out there.
That's right.
You can follow...
You have six of them.
I want triple digits by episode 300.
Sir, OG has several followers.
I do.
I think he has in the tens of followers.
I have just over 2,100 followers.
There you go.
I want you to know. I want.
How many do I have?
I don't know.
Like six. I want triple digits by episode 300. Is that ridiculous?
I think you get triple digits in much less time than that.
Okay, then I'd be very excited about that.
So, and a couple things also to come up to start thinking about also. Besides episode 300, in the fall there will be the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon.
Right.
Will be returning.
That's right.
Very popular. And then also...
We're not going to do it via Kickstarter.
No.
We're not going to set our goal at $10 and then raise $60,000 under the premise that we want to launch a podcast, Penny Arcade, you mooching SOBs.
Wow.
That's right. I called
them
out.
Is that what they did?
Yep. They set their goal at $10 to launch a podcast. They raised $60,000 in like a handful of days.
Yeah.
It was it's complete and utter dick move.
But Penny Arcade is a big
why first of all
PAX is them, right?
Yes,
PAX is them. Penny Arcade Expo. Yeah, that's
they
what it
don't
is.
Need Kickstarter to launch a podcast.
Let's talk about Zach Braff doing the same thing though, right? You know, Indiegogo really? I get it, you know, but if you're a famous star producer.
He absolutely should not have done it.
I don't understand that.
He
at
should
all.
Not have done it.
No.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's pretty
that's
weird.
Abusing the power.
But
of
he
Kickstarter.
Did it on the heels of the other one.
Yeah.
The little girl, what's her name?
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart. Kristen
Chenoweth.
No, the one from Veronica Mars.
Oh, that was
that's why
Bell?
Zach Braff did it.
Bell?
Bell's Kristen Bell?
Kristen
he did
Bell.
It because Veronica Mars got funded. What is there?
Oh, the movie,
$2 million
right?
To get funded.
Did I ever tell you the Kristen Bell
story?
I wonder if that's
now something they put in when they're pitching it to the network. Like, what if we make $100,000 on our own? Will you back it? And they go, well, if there's enough interest.
I think that was the deal that Kristen Bell had. And then with Zach Braff, he just got a deal today based on the popularity of the Kickstarter campaign. Someone
then
gave
he should
him
give
like
the money
$10
million
back. To
fund the
movie.
He should give the money back.
100% agree.
I'm not okay with that.
I 100% agree.
Speaking of which, check out Kickstarter.com. No, I'm just... I got nothing.
I have a Kickstarter campaign we'll talk about later.
Did I ever tell you the Kristen Bell story?
Red carpet, right?
Red carpet of Clerks 2.
Yeah.
She had a pee, and she ran literally square into me and bounced off me like she was a linebacker trying to tackle, you know, the bathroom, I guess.
Right.
And I was in the middle of having an awesome discussion with Jason Lee.
With Jason Lee. I remember that.
Clerks 3, by the way. Script, first draft finished.
First draft is finished.
That is
nice.
Correct. So that's
Kevin's last movie this
that's
time.
Out there.
That's
his current last movie. That's like the Who's farewell tour. It just
again.
Never happens.
The Who, Kiss, and Kevin Smith. It's all...
Kiss never had a farewell tour.
Are you sure about that?
No,
I thought they did.
I don't believe they've had a farewell tour. No, sir.
It was a goodbye tour.
The Who,
it was
however,
a goodbye tour. Yeah. Okay.
The Who, however, had like two or three, I think.
And the most recent one was Who's Left? Is that
no, that was my ill-fated joke that I actually asked the two of them before they put out the last album. I was invited to a virtual press conference where The Who was in England.
Right.
And we could see them on the screen, but we were the press giving them questions from New York.
Right.
And so when I got up there, it was my turn to give a question. I said... Basically, I said, you know, Pete, you've always had this very sort of... I probably can find this audio somewhere. You've always had this sort of whimsical way about naming the albums, Who's Next, you know, Who by Numbers. You know, there's all this kind of very whimsical, Who Are You? You know,
right.
There's always that connection. I said, so at this point, are you thinking of a whimsical title for the new album? And something along the lines of maybe Who's Next?
Right.
And Roger just turned to Pete and go, you taking that one. Or rather, you taking that one. That's Roger's voice now.
So the name of the title of the episode.
Yes, that's
yes.
70s midget. I mean.
No.
Whoops. Mutant.
Wow.
Sorry, I still was caught on Kristen Bell. Sorry.
That's 70s mutant. Wow, that's a good one. That's going in the clip show.
70s midget.
Yeah, and episode 600. Episode 500, the road to 500.
Wow.
So, yeah, the reason, of course, that it is that title
Is because they have begun releasing photos.
Right.
Actually, I think it's is it Brian Singer?
Yes, he's been tweeting them. Yes.
A photo. The first one was of the of Professor X in the chair, but he is straight out of that '70s.
Yeah, show. He almost looks like Ashton Kutcher. He looks like Kelso.
He does a little bit.
Kelso in a wheelchair.
And that's what's his name? James
McAvoy.
McAvoy. Yeah. And he looks. So I have two problems with it, but I'll get. Well, why don't we take them one
at a time?
So my first problem is that he isn't losing his hair.
Okay.
Like his hair looks exactly the way it looked in the last movie, but this cat is completely bald in short order after all this. You know, like I think the hair should at least have been thinning a little bit, in my opinion.
Maybe they'll add it in post.
Maybe. But other than that, it just looks like James McAvoy sitting in a wheelchair.
Right.
In 70s clothes.
Sure.
Now, the second thing, which was a more disturbing photo.
Okay.
Right? Was a picture of Wolverine.
Right.
Hugh Jackman. And the Beast.
Okay.
Except the Beast is not transformed.
No. Should he be transformed at that point?
Yes, because at the end of First Class, or the middle of First Class, he is transformed.
He is transformed.
So,
wait. Was that makeup or was it? Was his transformation makeup or was it CGI?
No, it was makeup.
Okay,
sure?
Because you see where I'm going with this.
But either way, he'd still be wearing a jumpsuit with markers.
He would be wearing something.
Right.
Yeah, he's just wearing.
Could be a flashback.
He's wearing 70s clothes.
Could be a flashback.
Yeah.
It could be a flashback to what? They're in the X mansion. Which is clearly looking like the X mansion we saw in X 1-2 and I guess 3 if you saw that shit. And they're standing in that very familiar hallway in the mansion, and it is clearly Wolverine, and it is clearly the Beast, and they are clearly in 70s clothes. So no matter what sort of time travel you do, Doc Brown, you don't get unmutated Beast in the 70s in that mansion. Even if for some reason they went back in time
and then pulled him forward.
It doesn't work.
I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah, I guess.
I got faith. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen, you with your fucking faith, both of you, I have two things to say to you, and they are Wolverine Origins and X3. Thank you.
But I didn't have any faith in either of those.
Just saying.
I had no faith in X3 knowing that Brett Ratner was on and Bryan Singer was out. All of my faith in Wolverine Origins was that it wasn't a complete train wreck. It was only mostly a train wreck.
I as I recall, OG, all your money was on Superman Reborn, as I recall.
No.
No.
I don't like Superman. At all.
No one in this room likes Superman.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Angela. You know, from Spawn.
Yeah, she's going over the Marvel Universe.
Which we talked about already.
To hunt down Miracle Man.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, no, he's in the Spawn Universe. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So we get the first glimpse of her in her new costume, which is really not that new, except that they've removed any...
ribbons.
Right, and all traces to Spawn.
Right.
No Spawn earrings, no Spawn logo on the belt.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So, and they've kind of taken away some of the like Amazon warrior aspect of it, and she's more like almost a cross between like medieval. It's kind of like goldish armor. It's weird. Still scantily clad, clearly, and red hair, clearly. But Age of Ultron 10 as well. She'll be making her first appearance.
Nice.
So that's about 2 months away.
We didn't talk about that last week.
What?
I don't believe we did.
We'll talk about it now.
Did we talk about Iron Man 3?
We didn't, because I still haven't seen it.
Oh,
now, I still have not seen it, but I know all the spoilers at this point. It's been ruined for me. So,
you do?
Yeah.
Ant-Man? Where Ant-Man makes the appearance?
No, I don't know about Ant-Man, but I don't believe actually Ant-Man makes an appearance. I know about the after-credits stinger, and
no
I know
cares.
About the Mandarin.
I know.
So,
a lot of bad press over the stuff they did in Iron Man 3, my friend.
You know what? This is the weirdest thing. So once it was spoiled for me, then I figured I might as well just ingest it and just check things out.
Sure.
A lot of people in the U.S. completely hated it. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people hated it. But the U.K. loved it. Totally okay with all the Mandarin stuff. So I don't know if that they're not as jaded as us.
Or they just really like Ben Kingsley.
Or they really just like Ben Kingsley.
No, I thought it was the only way to handle it in this universe.
Yeah?
I'm going to say
that. They
haven't
introduced magic into the universe yet.
Good.
Doctor Strange, because right. that's not for a few years yet. That was the, and if they don't get, what's his name? Can we just say this every time we bring up Doctor Strange?
David Strathairn.
David Strathairn to play it. They might as well not do the movie.
So my opinion on it, having not seen it yet, although I think I'm actually going to finally get to see it this upcoming weekend.
Sweet.
Based on what I've read, I don't have a problem with it.
I think they did it really, really well. I think Ben Kingsley played a great both roles, if you will. And I don't know.
Mean,
I was.
What does that mean, both roles? Was he two characters in the movie?
He was both. Are we spoiling this?
Yeah.
Is everyone?
Oh, we got to put in the spoiler alert.
Guys, spoiling. Spoiling stuff is what we're doing now. So he played the Mandarin and then the actor who plays the Mandarin.
Right, right.
I don't know. It was a really entertaining movie. I think it had a lot of links to the original Iron Man, which is really cool. Ten Rings is the terrorist organization that kidnaps him in Iron Man 1.
Right.
That is the Mandarin's organization that he's leading, the fictitious one.
Right, which makes sense.
Is what he's leading. Mandarin. The guy that he meets in the cave that builds him, you know, the first Iron Man suit, if you will, to escape, he says in the first movie, I met you at a conference in Switzerland. And then the opening of Iron Man 3 is in Switzerland at that conference, and he's actually a background character you see. It's just a really – that really small stuff to me – I appreciate that a lot.
Right, right.
And I think it's awesome that they're doing that. And, you know, I could watch Robert Downey Jr. on screen for an hour and a half just talking at me.
Hopefully you'll get that opportunity again.
Well, you know, we'll see about that. But I was thoroughly entertained by Iron Man 3. A lot of great stuff in there.
I'm looking forward to finally getting a chance to see it. So.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. I'll say it. I'm not going to get to see Star Trek probably in the theater at all. I've already accepted this fate.
Yeah.
That being said, it's already been spoiled for me as well. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's all been spoiled for me.
Please don't. We'll be going. We will be going.
No.
Nope.
Everything has been spoiled for me.
We will be seeing it at the midnight showing.
You'll be seeing it tonight.
Where was it spoiled?
Well, it already...
On the interwebs.
It already screened in certain places. Right. Some people in the UK already saw it. I mean, it's...
Is he con?
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying it was spoiled for me, but I don't
I think
care.
Man of Steel also screened early, though.
Man of Steel is a couple weeks away, isn't it?
It's next.
Did it screen already?
I think it had an early screener and it got okay.
It got okay reviews.
Yeah.
It got lukewarm reviews.
Well, I don't know. But Iron Man 3, definitely go see it because you did that already.
Trailers.
Yeah, we can do trailers.
Trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right.
What was the first one? Shield.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
The full one.
The full one.
You must see the full one to get the full feeling of what this
3 minutes
is going to be.
Yeah, it's about 3 minutes, three and change.
It looks to me like S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically hunting down superheroes, people with superpowers.
More or less.
That's what I got from it.
More
Not
or less.
Not all people.
And Coulson.
And Ryan Coulson.
Coulson, yeah.
Right. The big question surrounding the trailer, and if you haven't seen the trailer, there's a link to it up on the website, but... the big question surrounding the trailer is who is...
the black fella.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Power Man.
No, he was in...
Luke Cage.
God, what is his name? He was just on Arrow. He used to be on Angel. The name is drawing a blank right now. But it's not Luke Cage. So
They say.
And there was an interview with, I think, one of the creative directors and one of the producers who said... Who gave some sort of hint that... I think it was that... There might be some race bending going on with that character.
Okay, so he's a white character.
Right. And the name starts with M, but that was it. So we don't know who he actually is. Or
Machine Man.
I don't know.
Marvel Man? No, that's Wonder Man.
Yeah. So I don't know.
M.
We'll have to wait until the fall. Now, this is going to air Tuesday nights in the fall, of course, on ABC. It's going up against NCIS, which is a very bold move on their part.
MODOK.
No, it's not going to be MODOK. But it makes sense for him to be MODOK.
I know. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Maggot. Could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
It'll never happen.
It would never happen. That would have been great, though.
So the S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer was pretty hugely, epically received.
Marvel Man.
We'll see.
Captain Marvel.
People are bitching already, of course, about it. You know, negative Nancys are complaining about Coulson and all these things.
I'm sure there's a logical explanation.
Yeah,
Coulson is the Vision.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's just that.
The way it should
have been. Just sure it's that Nick Fury just fucking staged it.
Lied.
Yeah, Coulson wasn't actually dead. Nick Fury staged it to put the Avengers together, and that's a perfect. As far as I'm concerned, I'm okay with that.
It makes sense.
I'm okay with that.
And it sticks with his character who is not telling them stuff all through the Avengers.
Exactly.
Isn't that part of the point of it?
Right. So I'm fine with that. The other trailers were, there was a trailer for Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which is the new Once spinoff in Wonderland.
Okay.
That's all we have to say about that. The trailer exists. Watch it if you really want. I don't recommend it.
If you're into that
TMNT
kind of thing.
Shadow, what was
Asylum
it called?
Asylum trailer?
No, it was TMNT. Hold on, I have the
Teenage
name.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Asylum?
Arkham Turtles.
Out of the Shadows.
Arkham Turtles.
Yes, sir. Out of the Shell? Called?
Out of the Shadows.
Okay.
This is going to be a download only game for Xbox, for 360, PS3, and PC. To me, it looks like a poor man's version of Batman Arkham Asylum. The only part about it that I like is that you will be able to play 4-player multiplayer at the same time with the 4 turtles.
That's fun.
That part could be fun. It is a combo base.
That would be fun.
I doubt that. It is a combo based fighting type game, much like Arkham Asylum. So it's based on.
So it's really the old Turtles game, but in 3D.
Sort of. It looked okay. I mean, it didn't look great. It looked okay.
It's a movie tie-in game.
Yeah, that's
what we expected.
It's a movie slash animated series tie-in game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. And since we're talking about the Turtles. Footage.
What is the latest outrage?
Well, the latest outrage is the foot soldiers that appeared online. Did you see the photo of the foot soldiers?
Yeah.
I did not.
We didn't talk about this last week.
No, we talked about this in the car ride.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We did not actually talk about it on the show.
Yeah, they look like a cross between the Immortals from 300.
Right, because they have some sort of weird mask.
And G.I. Joe Black Op units.
So the scary part about this is, for those of you who've been following this Turtles movie since it was re-announced a couple years back, was that one of the very early drafts of the script that everybody said wasn't actual and that it was bogus and that it was being rewritten was that the character of Shredder was General Shredder. And he was involved in the military, some sort of military organization, right? Clearly, these foot soldiers are somehow military.
Right. Agreed.
So that leads us to believe that Shredder could, again, be somewhat military. So, yeah. So it leads us to believe that maybe that Agent Shredder rumor that went around a couple years back or a year and so back.
Right.
And
he's a space warlord. Am I correct in that?
We don't know. We don't know nothing.
Stupid.
Did I miss any trailers? What trailers? Oh, yeah. Riddick. Right?
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Riddick.
Riddick. And it's just called Riddick, the movie, right?
I believe it is.
I believe it is just called Riddick.
So this will be the third film,
correct,
in which Vin Diesel plays the character Riddick, Pitch Black, The Chronicles of Riddick, and now just Riddick. Riddick, the new one, looks a lot like Pitch Black, the first one, which kind of leaves a lot of open-ended questions about what happened between the end of 2 and the beginning of this movie, because at the end, he's sitting on the throne like King Conan, surrounded by that whole humongous space army, which he's now in charge of, because he killed the other dude.
Right.
So it's a little...
I mean, it's interesting because that clearly was setting up, and I think they talked about it, an epic trilogy kind of moment.
Which
died. And then they were like, that didn't really work out. So they just killed it. So now it's back to the Pitch Black survival horror.
Do we know for a fact where this movie takes place continuity-wise? Is it possible that it takes place before Chronicles of Riddick and after Pitch Black?
I would... find it. No, they did some animated stuff that took place in between.
No, I know, but since they scrapped the concept behind the trilogy, which I remember reading about as well.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Well, I'm wondering if they announced it and we just in this room don't know that.
Is what I'm
getting at.
It's possible, but I imagine that what I imagine is that they're going to have some sort of exposition as to what happened between the end of the second one and this one.
The trailer looks fine. I'm just not a fan of the... Pitch Black was like, and Chronicles of Riddick was even less. More like,
I liked both of those movies a lot.
They didn't do it for me.
Oh, production value is really high, I thought. Pitch Black, I thought.
Shiny Bobbles
really...
is not a good movie make.
Shiny Bobbles, yes. Yes, I know, because I saw Oblivion. I know. I mean, I get it. I just think that, I think that it definitely... was better than your standard horror, space horror fare. And, it was such a popular character that they did another whole film just to use the character.
Sure.
Which I also thought was a great maneuver.
All right, let's talk quickly about Jack Bauer.
Ugh. He's back.
All right, now let me...
It doesn't say Jack Bauer, it says 24.
No, Kiefer Sutherland. They definitely say Kiefer Sutherland's back.
Yeah, so I think him and the executive producer,
the daughter,
want to do it.
Want to do it. All right. So here's,
I don't want them to.
So here's the thing. I really liked 24. Right. I was a fan to the end.
Yeah.
But the last season, actually, probably the last two seasons, really started to wear on me. They really got tedious.
Just like True Blood.
I think that the reason that they got tedious was because
vampires and
the idea of the 24 hours and everything taking place so close to each other. And
it
got old. The only thing that I'm excited about with this is that it's not 24 episodes. It's 13 episodes.
So
it's really just bringing back the character of Jack Bauer.
13 hours.
Is it 13 instead of 24?
I don't know that they're calling it 24. They're bringing back Jack Bauer, and it's a limited series. It's only 13 episodes. I'm okay with the character of Jack Bauer.
Well, they were going to be doing a movie.
Right, which got shit-canned as well.
Apparently, it must have ran longer than 3 hours.
So, apparently, they're just bringing... They're just doing this. They're doing this 13.
Yes, I think this is replacing the movie. But I think
I guess that means his show Touch got canceled.
I believe Touch did get canceled. Yeah. Yes, but I'm okay with 13 episodes. I think that you could pull out 13 solid episodes with the character.
Yeah, but
Jack
Bauer. You know what you should watch if you wanted like an updated, gritty, dark take on 24.
What?
That you know wouldn't have to have the constraints of real time. It's called Homeland.
Right.
Why do we need
Oh, I was gonna say Bates Motel.
Not quite the same.
You see, this is a comedy program, sir. Let me explain to you.
Yeah, but in order for it to be comedy, it has to be funny.
Yeah,
that is funny.
To you?
We're trying to make a comparison between things that are alike.
I see that Green Hornet book laughing.
I pull.
Mostly because it's a Green Hornet book.
I pull something that is completely not appropriate. And
shit from your ass.
Yes, thank you.
All right, I have one more thing before we move on.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to star in the reboot of, ready? The Toxic Avenger. Why?
Seriously?
Why? Because the Toxic Avenger. Because
he looks toxic.
Because he looks, because I just, first of all, do we need another Toxic Avenger?
The first superhero from New Jersey?
We don't need Toxie to come back ever. In a film, as far as I'm concerned.
And I can't believe that's true. I have to think that he's just saying something off the cuff.
I don't know. I mean, I guess his other choice could have been RoboCop, who now looks like Plastic Cop. Have you seen that footage, by the way?
Terrible.
He looks like he's in black PVC armor.
Yeah, it's awful.
And he's got one real hand.
Yeah.
And he just does not look good.
Terrible idea. Terrible idea to reboot.
But that statue in Detroit, I think, is getting unveiled soon. Do you remember all that controversy over that Detroit wanted its own statue of RoboCop? Like, Peter Welker did that online video to...
Weller?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did that online video saying how they should do it, and someone actually finally did it. I think they're going to put it somewhere in Detroit.
Maybe the reboot is RoboCop.
RoboCop, there you go. Yuck.
Instead.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else for this segment.
Well, and no one is surprised. And with that, OG, we will... take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 289, That 70s Mutant.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. EA is now the official publisher of the Star Wars franchise, which is fitting, since EA is an evil empire. Get ready for the microtransactions. Want to turn that lightsaber from green to red? You might have to pay for that color crystal. All kidding a dark side, this couldn't be better news. As fondly as LucasArts is remembered, mostly for their 20-year-old adventure games, for the last 10 years they've been sparsely releasing half-baked games, when they were releasing games, because the Star Wars license is simply too precious. Fast forward to now, where EA has deep pockets and likes the idea of an annual franchise. As they rest the Medal of Honor series, get ready for the inevitable Star Wars Battlefront game. And I doubt we'll be waiting 8 years. And I'm not pulling that number out of the air. Star Wars Battlefront 2 was released in 2005. But it's not like LucasArts didn't try. Battlefront 3 was 99% done, but just never released. I think EA are greedy pigs, but these are professional pigs who like money, who will sell us video games. Gran Turismo 6 has been officially announced for the PlayStation 3. The game is coming to PlayStation 3 this holiday season. My first thought? Oh, GT6 is being released in April 2014. since the franchise has a history of being delayed time and time again. Gran Turismo 6 will have 1,200 cars with 33 locations, in addition to 7 new tracks. People love them some Gran Turismo, as Gran Turismo 5 sold something like 10 million copies, making Gran Turismo the best-selling franchise on the Sony platform. So Gran Turismo 6 is coming to PlayStation 3, but fingers crossed that it actually makes its intended holiday release date. Gran Turismo 6 is set to be unveiled at this year's E3. Scribblenauts Unmasked is the next Scribblenauts game, which is set in the DC Universe. Looks great, with a release window of this fall, although it has been announced for the Nintendo 3DS, the PC, and something called a Wii U? Strange. No announcement for iOS, which is a real letdown. If you're unfamiliar with Scribblenauts, try it on your smartphone or play Super Scribblenauts on the PC, because you're going to want to be excited for Scribblenauts Unmasked. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 289, That 70s Mutant Midget. We're just combining the two.
The mutant midget.
On the road to 300.
On the road
on
to
the
300.
On the road to 300, I like that.
We need a little on the road, like a little
on
vamp.
On the road
from,
again.
Yeah, we need a little vamp from that. When we do like these on the road to 300. Should we do
I'll follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Should we do it all on
bed? Because, you know, munchkins.
Wow.
That 70s Munchkins.
There you go. Are they chocolate?
Should we do the On the Road to 300? Should we do that as like a weekly bit where we play one thing with a little intro and outro? Or should we do it as a whole program? I think doing it the weekly way is probably a lot easier.
Either way.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay.
Let's see if I can put something together.
Sure.
Okay. When he says that, he means, I need someone else to do that work for me.
No, sir.
That's exactly what that means. All right. Let's talk quickly about, well, not necessarily quickly, but let's talk about A New Beginnings, a show we went to at Suburban Vinyl.
Yes.
Last weekend, mm-hmm. or this past weekend.
Past weekend.
Me and Big Kev mm-hmm. went. Scapegoat, unfortunately,
also in attendance, Pervert Ken.
Pervert Ken was in attendance.
Blink.
Pervert Ken, actually, may be joining the Big Kev's Geek Stuff family very soon.
Oh.
With the return of something. I'm just teasing it at that. We'll talk about that more in the coming weeks.
Return of what?
But we'll talk about it in the coming
weeks. Oh, okay.
But let's talk about A New Beginnings.
Yeah, we got to say all the rest of the people who were there. Blink.
Blink was there.
Was also
Rob,
there.
Our friend Rob. Uh-huh. Christopher was there.
Christopher.
Arson was there. Mm-hmm. Lupin Mantell was there. Yes. Who am I missing? Oh, Brian from Deadhead Toys was there.
I want to say I always have a good time when we hang out with Lupin Mantell.
Lou is good people. They're all good people. Yeah. I like all of those guys.
And a couple of new artists that we met.
Adam was there mm-hmm. from Argonaut Resins. He's part of that family now. But he's a good guy as yep. well. Yeah, it was a good group.
Yeah, it was a good group of people. It was a nice evening.
Yeah, a bunch of artists. A lot of people showed up.
Art.
Yeah.
A lot of great art. OG, did you get some pictures to put up?
I did, and actually I posted them on the website the other day.
Excellent.
And I will put them as part of the photo gallery for this week's episode as well.
Yeah, a lot of nice pieces.
But yeah, a lot of nice pieces.
I got to be honest. I know Blink bought one that I was really seriously considering. Right. I was seriously considering the one he bought. There was at least two or three others that I was really seriously like, ooh.
Why a really rich man? I would have bought the Crown Skull by Arson. I love that piece. I love his art in general.
Right.
I also really liked the steampunky piece by D10 was the artist, who was not there, but I liked that piece. Right.
The piece that was below the skull I thought was pretty
Yeah, I think that was Jay Fury, I think, was the artist behind that, but I could be wrong. Piece was really cool.
There was some flat art.
That was really nice. Yep. Lou's painting was awesome.
I can't remember who the artist name is. He did those two on plastic.
Oh, Juan Muniz?
Is that what it was? Yeah, something like that.
Carson Catlin's pieces were really nice. Right. The Suburban Dead, the customized Walking Dead busts from Christopher was really cool.
Those are banks.
Oh, yeah, they're the vinyl bank busts that Diamond puts out.
That's clever, lots
of great stuff. Yeah. Lots, and a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as I did love that show, I'm really excited about the next show. That's coming up.
When is that?
This is May 31st.
Is that what day of the week?
It's a Friday night.
Okay.
It's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a 5-hour event. Because I understand that there may be food at this event.
Wow.
But
heard that before.
There's going to be this is based on the new G.I. Joe platform toys.
Right, the little ones.
Yeah, that Hasbro, and I think the Loyal Subjects is the other company that's putting this out. Okay. This is a Hasbro-sponsored event. Some of the artists that are participating in this event, Force of Darkness, Blazing Brickhouse. Blazing Brickhouse was actually at the New Beginnings show. She had the Strawberry Daiquiri piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead Hand Toys, that's Brian, was there. Carson Catlin has a piece in there as well. JC Rivera again, Juan Muniz again, Mr. Monk, who's a friend of the show.
Wow, Mr. Monk.
Yep. Nemo. Nemo had a piece actually at the New Beginning show as well. J Fury, Matt A. I'm trying to think. Rusted Halo has a piece again. Joe Scarano has a piece. Tasha Zimich, which is the piece that Blink bought that you wanted. She has a piece in the show. Cool. Chris Dolfer has a piece in the show.
Cool.
A bunch of other artists. Benny from Tenacious Toys is curating the show. He's going to be there night.
Now, that's always good. It's always a good time when you have Benny.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was going to say, and this one starts at 4.
4 to 9. Man. It is a long event.
I'm not going to be there at the gate.
I'm not going to be there at the gate either. But
I'll be there soon after.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely you should come out to Suburban Vinyls in Waldwick, New Jersey.
Yep.
You can check out suburbanvinyl.com for more information. I'll have the press release up in the next day or two as well.
Cool.
And, of course, if you want to check out pieces that were available at the New Beginning show, a lot of them are still for sale. You can check them out over at suburbanvinyl.com as
well. Nice. So. Yeah, so we'll see you at that show.
Yes.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comic books.
Yes, sir.
I have more than you, which is, again, no surprise.
Yeah, when did the tables turn?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
When I became poor, that's when it happened.
That could be it.
I am reading this week the second issue of the fabulous Mark Waid Green Hornet series. Mark Waid has taken the character back to its origins. No interesting female Kato, no wacky updated costume. This is simply straight up Green Hornet time.
All right.
And it is really, really good.
Just like the movie.
Oh. Daniel, not like the movie. All right, look. Listen to me, scapegoat. There are a couple of things that you need to learn around here. Number one is we don't insult the Green Hornet.
Yes, we do. I insult Green Hornet every week.
You can insult
I feel that I've learned we should insult the Green Hornet.
No.
Hence me bringing up the movie.
The movie is fine to insult. The classic pulpy Green Hornet, which this is, the TV show from the 60s, untouchable.
Says you?
Untouchable.
Untouchable as in the Indian caste system, meaning we should shit all over it? Or
there you go.
Untouchable as in not to be spoken of.
Listen,
by the way, to
chair.
All of my Indian friends out there.
That's right.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm also reading... Red Hood.
As Johnny Depp is Tonto.
Oh.
Wow. No, you know what?
Or Sir Ben Kingsley is Gandhi. No.
They're just trying to kill. They're trying to kill all possible pulp heroes in
is
film.
Is that what
That's
it is?
What it is. And there'll be a Shadow reboot at some point. The difference there is that Mike Uslan will have something to do with that Shadow
all
reboot.
Right.
So it might be actually better than the awful Alex. What's his name? Anyway, Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 20.
Yes.
James Tynion and Julius Gomez. I'm not making that up.
All right.
It's Julius Gomez.
I have not read this issue yet, although I am caught up to date through issue 19. Issue 19 was definitely a very interesting issue. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Now OG wants to read it.
Well, I read that book. I enjoy the book because I like Arsenal. So
now that he's off the smack.
Now that he's off the smack. All right. Two books. I have a bunch of books, so let me run through them real quick. From Marvel, Age of Ultron number 8 is out this week.
Are you reading that?
I am, for a couple of different reasons. One, because I'm curious about the Angela thing.
Two, because you're a masochist.
No. Actually, it's really... It got really good when Wolverine went back in time and killed Hank Pym in order to prevent Ultron from ever being created, causing a butterfly effect, fucking up the entire Marvel Universe. It got pretty interesting.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So he kills Hank Pym.
He goes back in time to kill Hank Pym to prevent him from creating the AI that becomes Ultron, to preventing the events that lead up to the Age of Ultron world.
Doesn't Wolverine know that this never works? Doc Brown, Theory of Time Travel.
Nova 4, also out this week. I definitely got to check that out if you're following those books.
Traitor Waiter.
From Dark Horse. Dark Horse, Darth Vader and the Nth Assassin number 2. Or the Ninth, sorry, the Ninth Assassin
Nth
number
Assassin.
2. Yeah. I'm thinking, I was thinking Nth Man. Damn you, pervert Ken. So, yes. Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin number 2 is a really kind of weird story, but I'm digging it. And then one that I was really excited about reading, and then I read it and was not at all excited about it which was Edgar Allan Poe's Fall of the House of Usher number 1. I didn't like it. And I liked the Fall of the House of Usher. So I don't know. I didn't really like the art.
I was going to say, the art not jiving?
No, the art is not jiving for me at all. And I don't know. I'm not recommending that one. Really.
Okay.
But there it is.
I have a lovely book to share with you this week that is comic related, yet not a comic.
Has this been reprinted as many times as The Watchmen at this point?
This is a brand new book.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was a companion.
Oh, you didn't realize.
I thought
well,
it was
maybe
just.
If you
it
had says just that gob and stop trying to be funny. Then
no,
you
I wasn't trying
it,
to be funny.
Oh, clearly you weren't trying. Clearly.
See, there you go. Zinger. Bazinga.
This is the From Hell companion. So if you've never read Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell's absolute classic phone book called From Hell. You have it's got, I mean phone book because it's really thick and stuff in it is kind of small.
And midgets could use it on their seat.
In the 70s.
To get a couple of inches up on them.
Yes.
Tying it all together.
Great. We're insulting midgets continually. Great. So.
Sorry, vertically challenged.
Little
actually,
people.
Little people.
This book is about, this is a book about how they made that book.
Right.
Mostly it's by Eddie Campbell with Alan Moore.
Book about a book.
If you like reading two things at once, this is for you.
Well, look, From Hell is considered by many people, including myself, as a classic piece of illustrated narrative. And this book tells you the long, it took 10 years for them to make that book. And this book chronicles how they were able to do it. It's fascinating.
This is kind of like the Silmarillion for From Hell.
No. The Silmarillion... Nothing whatsoever to do with the other books. It's just not. Why do I try? Full of original scripts and sketches by Alan Moore. It talks about photos, anecdotes, disagreements, wry confessions. It's an entire book. I'm talking like...
Or reality show.
285 pages about the From Hell book. And if you've never read the From Hell book... You should definitely read that, and then I would definitely recommend picking up this.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating. I've already leafed through some of it, and it's fascinating information about the.
I like From Hell.
That book.
From Hell is definitely up there. It's out of like the top three Alan Moore like oldie books. It's in the number three spot.
This is the one
that still.
It took him the longest. It was his. Like his absolute baby.
Right.
He had wanted to tell the Jack the Ripper story for forever, and it took him 10... I can't believe it took them 10 years to put that book together.
That's pretty crazy.
So, yeah.
Good on Alan Moore.
Really.
Now, does he sanction this? Is he okay with this
He's
one?
Actually... He did participate in
okay.
it.
Okay.
He
came down from the Magic Mountain.
Well, no, I think if I read the... If I may, scapegoat. On the back, it says that... I believe that it's mostly confessions and things from Eddie Campbell.
Right.
I think it's, I'm sure it has a lot to do with working with Alan Moore as
well. It has nothing to do with DC, right? Who put this out?
No, DC didn't put out.
I know. They didn't reprint it at any point in time or anything
so,
weird
no.
like
I don't
that? Okay.
So, no.
So then he should have no problem with it.
No.
It's really only DC that he hates.
And Marvel.
And Marvel.
And pretty much the community at large.
Well, but he still puts out books.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Eh.
All right.
This is as close as you're going to get to a
book. To not a loot album from Alan Moore.
Exactly. Rockin' loot.
Cheapest Christmas.
So that's all I got book-wise.
All right. Well, let's move forward then.
Word. Geek stuff. Product reviews.
I got one thing. You got one thing. We'll do my thing first.
Because your thing sucks?
I don't know. This doesn't suck. This is a fine thing. Sent to us by the
yeah,
the
scapegoat.
Folks.
Don't be so judgmental right
this
out
is,
of the gate. Scapegoat.
This is sent to us over the fine folks at what is it? Is it Little It's Little House Designs.
Okay.
In conjunction with Power Entertainment. Power Entertainment is Stan Lee's thing.
Uh-huh.
This is Yo. It's a DIY vinyl figure.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a little dude in underwear. It's a DIY figure.
You can make Captain Underpants out of him if he was, you know, like fatter.
Or, you know, like a Rugrats superhero.
Little Scopey? Actually, that's what I was thinking. He does look like Tommy from the Rugrats. Yeah. An older version of Tommy. What's interesting about this, design-wise, or what I thought was kind of interesting about this, is that you have sculpted facial features, right?
Uh-huh.
But no sculpted eyes. I guess it's so that you can give him the expression that you want, except that the smile is also... I almost think I would have rather have seen no smile either. If you're not going to do eyes, then get rid of the smile. You can put nose and ears.
It's very presumptive. They don't,
yeah, right, because ears and nose don't really convey emotion at all, and eyes and mouth do.
They want you to actually customize this, and then they want you to mail photos.
That's right.
To contest@3coconutmonkey.com.
Right, they're having a custom contest.
Uh-huh.
We are giving away this figure on the show. Now, what I should say is, can I get that box back real quick?
Yes, sir.
So, in addition to, if you were buying these, I guess there were also randomly inserted art cards in some of these packages.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happens that the one that we got to give away on the show has one of those randomly inserted packages of art cards.
Really?
So you will be getting that as well. It says, lucky you, only one in five boxes has a special set of art cards, and we have those here as well.
Who's, what?
So I think it's just by the artist that put the toy out.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, Edgar from Little House. The gentleman's name is Edgar.
Edgar.
But, so yeah, we're going to be giving this away. What do you think, Big Kev? What's a good way to give this away?
I'm going to leave this entirely in the hands of Scapegoat.
How about we do this via the, I'm going to say we do this via the Facebook.
Okay.
So you're going to go to facebook.com/yopage. And you're going to like their page.
Right.
And then you're going to go to facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. And you're going to like our page. You have to like both pages.
Right.
And then I don't know.
And we are going to check.
And under the episode post, under the episode 289 post on our page, you're going to just, you're going to post, I don't know, any comment about the show this week.
So what do you say? He's about 5-6 inches
yeah,
tall.
Yeah, about 6 inches tall, I'd say.
DIY, nice white thing. You can do whatever you want with it. Yeah, I mean, we'd definitely be interested to see what the winner does with it as well.
Yeah, that's the other part. Once you get this piece and customize it, you have to send us copies of your custom work as well.
Yeah.
Not just to the contest.
Yeah, send us a photo so that we can post it, and then we'll follow you on the contest page.
That's right.
And, you know, we'll promote you as our champion.
And since we're talking about contests real quick, we have to give away.
How can I reach these kids?
We have to give away the Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
Thank you. Contest winner. That's going to go to Tom G in New Jersey. Thank you. Send us your information, and we will get you that code.
Nice.
So there you go. Congratulations.
$25 gift certificate,
that's
right?
To Superpower Collectibles.
Nice.
And you have something, I believe, for this product segment.
I do. Rounding out our product segment this evening, this is the latest in the Batman Black and White Batman statue series by DC Collectibles. And it's by inspired by a drawing by Mike Allred, sculpted by one of our favorites, Jonathan Matthews. This piece continues the new tradition of not numbering, which we
lovely.
Don't,
thanks,
we don't
guys.
Enjoy. And however, the sculpting is fantastic. Jonathan Matthews is a master sculptor. He has definitely captured the art style of Mike Allred.
Right.
And it is a fantastic piece. Coming soon, it says. Cheeks Gallery. We did that one, didn't we?
I'm going to slightly disagree with you.
And Raphael Grandpa, I don't think that we did that one yet. What, you don't disagree?
I like Mike Allred's style.
Okay.
But something about the sculpt compared to the art. I don't know. Something seems off to me.
Huh.
And I like Mike Allred's style.
It also looks like it's shot from a different angle, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I
don't
think it looks pretty great.
Yeah. Something, I wish, I can't put my finger on it. I don't think it's the best translation I've seen in the series.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, it's clearly the Mignola one, because that's like, that's
well,
like...
Well, no, even though, I thought the Jim Lee ones looked great.
Yeah,
I thought,
that's true, but Jim Lee's style is much more, I think it's easier to translate to 3D than Allred's style is. Not Allred, Mignola.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like no one's ever translated Allred's style to 3D before.
I'm not saying that at all. I thought the Big Blast action figures were really good.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
The other, there was another Madman action figure, wasn't there?
Yeah.
From that, we got thrown out of there.
That
last series.
That place.
And,
I don't know. I don't know. Something about it is...
Let's talk about the pros.
Okay.
Right? So the pros are, it's a classic Batman with the shorts.
Yes, I like that.
You know, it's a classic styled Batman. That's really great.
Yes.
Number two, it's a different artist.
Which is
like,
nice.
Like, it wasn't, they're not reissuing one that they've reissued before. They've done that twice now.
Right.
It's not an artist maybe that you've never heard of, or it's not an artist who's already contributed a piece. Jim Lee has, what, three now? Two or three? It's Batman,
right?
Which is a big plus in a Batman black and white statue series.
That's always a big plus. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, you're right. But until, you know,
Joker,
Penguin,
Catwoman,
Killer Croc is either out or coming.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, they've done a bunch.
Yeah,
which don't make a lot of sense. But that said, I think it is continuing the proper traditions.
Absolutely.
Of the line. It is definitely. It is definitely capturing, I feel, Allred's art style. It's Batman. It's a great pose.
When's the Greg Capullo piece? That's what I want to know. He deserves one.
Greg Capullo, you think? Yeah, I think. No, I agree with you.
I mean,
no.
Considering he's the bat artist for the
I know that,
Batman,
but I'm trying to think.
Well, launch.
But see, my position here has always been: have we covered all of the classic artists yet?
Yeah, but.
I'll tell you one right off the bat that hasn't been done.
Who?
Well, no, he has been done. I was going to say Bob Kane. But
They did a Bob Kane, right?
But, I mean, I think if you go through the roster...
I don't think you have to make it a classic artist, so long as it's a different artist. And an artist who has brought something new to the character.
Totally. Yeah, totally. No, I don't disagree with that. But I also think artists who have never done the character, just as worthy. There's artists who have never done Batman who I would love to see...
no doubt.
Get a statue out of this series.
No doubt. I'm just saying I think Greg Capullo deserves one.
I agree with you. What about Ethan Van Sciver?
He did one.
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I think he did one.
Did he?
I have this...
Scapegoat has to check.
I have this faint recollection that...
Right, I could
that,
be wrong.
That, he, that he's done one. I could be wrong, too.
Ethan Van Sciver, Batman Black and White.
Van Sciver is two words. I thought he did one. Either way.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's think of some more. What about Matt Fraction?
Okay.
Batman.
I would give it to Capullo before Matt Fraction.
I would too. I'm not.
But yes,
not
Matt Fraction should have
Capullo,
one.
For God's
Matt
sake.
Fraction should have one. I would like to see his take on it.
That's what I mean. What about Raphael
Albuquerque?
Albuquerque.
I'd love to see his take on Batman.
What about? I'll give you another one. What about a friend of this program, Francesco Franciavilla?
I'd be happy with his as well.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So the fact that there... What about... I'll give you another one. What about Evan Dorkin?
That would be strange.
I know, but it would be awesome.
But you know what? Strange works, because the Sergio Aragonés one is one of my favorites in the line that they've put out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about what's his name that does Tiny Titans?
Who does Tiny Titans?
That what's his, we're friends with him. Art Balthazar.
Is it? I was going to say, is it Art from Patrick the Wolf Boy?
Yeah, I think it's Art Balthazar.
Does he still do Patrick the Wolf Boy?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway,
is it Tiny Titans?
I know who does Tiny.
What about whoever? What about is it Dustin Nguyen who's doing Lil Gotham?
Yeah.
See, I mean, there's a variety of people out there who I think it would just be interesting to see them translated to 3D in this series. That's
absolutely. I would agree with you.
There we go.
I would agree with you.
So. He's going to run you, I think these are running about $80 a piece now.
Right.
Great stuff. We have every single one of them, I think, now. And it's an amazing collection when you see it all together.
Well, I think we should roll right into the end of the show.
Well, you've timed us out again, OG, so that we only have moments to do the wrap-up.
But before we do the wrap-up.
Your hatred of the wrap-up bleeds into every program.
Big F. before we do the wrap up.
Yeah, I know. Superpower Collectibles.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com, where you can find all sorts of geeky goodness, comic books, statues, action figures. Of course, there is a coupon code.
There is, and the coupon code is Big Kev, and it gives you, on every order of $50 or more, you get $10 off. On every order of $99 or more, you get free shipping and $10 off. And every $1,000, win a date with Scapegoat.
Nice.
Yep.
So don't forget, check out superpowercollectibles.com. This is your part now.
What am I supposed to say?
You say, OG, what did we talk about tonight on this week's episode of Big Heavy Stuff?
It was a short spot. I thought maybe I was forgetting something.
No.
Superpower Collectibles.
No, I don't think we have to mention the foot massage or the bottle of wine this week, because we're giving away Scapegoat, which is better than both of those combined.
It's true. Or yep. You can have both of those with Scapegoat.
Or you can bring both of those to me.
There you go.
It's true.
They'll bring the wine. You have to provide the foot massage. I think that's how that
works. That's fine.
All right, there you go.
Yep.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Of course, we talked a little bit about X-Men Days of Future Past and that 70s look that they have going on and why the Beast isn't blue.
Dig it.
We also talked about the S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer. We talked about the TMNT Shadow of the Balak trailer. What was it called? What was it called? Shadow of the something. How come I'm the only one that has to remember these things? Out of the Shadows was the TMNT.
This is why he wants to get rid of the wrap-up.
And of course,
he can't remember anything, but he talks about my memory all the time.
Of course, we talked about the foot soldiers that we saw in those on-the-set TMNT
That
picks.
Would be not the Jim Krueger book, The Foot Soldiers, the foot ninjas, from quote ninjas, from the brand new Michael Bay TMNT monstrosity.
Oh, we also talked about the Riddick trailer, and I want to talk about that. All right, we talked about the return of Jack Bauer in 13. Angela's
Is that a remake of 13? The Evan Rachel Woods movie?
I do not think that Jack Bauer will be doing any of the things that those girls did in that film.
Is that a remake of that animated movie about those little characters? They're running around. That was 13 too, wasn't it?
Was that 13?
That was 9.
I remember 9.
Yeah, it was
9. 9 was a great movie. I like 9.
Wasn't that a musical?
Yes, there was also
a
9.
Line, yes.
With Daniel Day-Lewis in it.
There you go.
Wow.
We are all over the place.
Boom.
I love it.
Numbers.
Numbers. Angela's new look in Marvel's Age of Ultron number 10 coming out in June. Arnold Schwarzenegger, for some ungodly reason, wants to play Toxie.
I don't think that's
true. Because Toxic Avenger reboot.
I don't think that's true.
We talked about Iron Man 3 in this week's episode.
Yeah,
we did.
Go see it.
I hope to go see it this weekend.
You shall see the movie.
Great. Now we have it on tape forever that you can't stop obsessively talking like Ben Kingsley.
I'm okay with this. It's
no,
better than
you didn't go through
your southern accent.
You didn't go through Bane for 4 months after that movie.
That's true.
The best Bane video ever was that group that did the Bane talking
when
about nutrition. Was that it? He's talking about nutrition and fiber intake the entire time?
Did you see the one where he dubs it?
No.
I'm Bane.
Yeah, isn't that the one where he's talking about like fiber and nutrition
point?
That's
part of it, yeah.
In books this week, because we're running out of time, we can't take a break, we have to roll right into the wrap-up because we're running out of time. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 20 from DC.
You're sassy this
From
week.
Dynamite, Green Rare. Hornet, the Mark Waid version of the book, number 2. And OG had a few as well.
Star Wars, Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin, number 2. Age of Ultron, number 8. And Nova, number 4, obviously.
Trader Waiter. And also we want you to definitely check out The From Hell Companion by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell. Absolutely a tremendous read, I can tell right away. If you've never read From Hell, I'd recommend sitting down for a few days and reading that, and then sitting down to read this. It's a fascinating story about how a great piece of illustrated narrative was created. Fantastic.
In product tonight, we talked about Stan Lee's POW Entertainment in conjunction with Little House Designs Yo, a DIY action figure that we're going to be giving away on the show. Of course, don't forget to enter the contest. Follow us on Facebook, follow them on Facebook, and leave a post in this week's episode.
And we also talked about the Batman black and white statue, the latest in the series, featuring the art of Mike Allred and the awesome sculpting of Jonathan Matthews. Going to run you about $80. Check that out from DC Collectibles.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have a plethora of things to offer to you.
In myriad.
We're not saying it.
Myriad.
We're not saying it. That's it. This bit dies today. That's it. No more myriad. No more veritable cornucopia.
You got away with saying it without saying it. I just want to point that out.
We're not saying plethora anymore. Right. There's just a lot of shit to see there. Okay? There.
Plenty
of
things.
Shit.
Don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter at GeekStuffOG, at BKGeekStuff, and at
ScapegoatGS.
Nice.
Yes.
Follow ScapegoatGS.
Follow
so that you can check out, yes, his tweet views.
Tweet views from all of Free Comic Book Day nonsense that came out. All the great books and all the terrible ones.
And, of course, because he doesn't believe that we can do it, we must get him to triple digits before episode 300, which I think will not be an issue.
Not be an issue. And, of course, if you had any comments about today's program, you have any questions, you have any snide remarks, something you'd like to hear us talk about, a comment about something we talked about, anything like that, you want to drop some news on us, something you're witnessing or a part of, by all means, you can always use the GVM line.
Which is 425-920-6050.
And leave a message over there, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev Geek Stuff.
Also, don't forget to check out our Amazon Associates sponsor link again over at the website. Thank you again for everybody who's continuing to use that. It does help the show.
Yep.
And I think... Big Kev.
And this is a random plug for Big Kev Eat Stuff.
Right.
A brand new exploratory committee was formed this week.
Right.
To discuss pros and cons of Big Kev Eat Stuff.
Gordon Ramsay visited, but he didn't want any of his help.
Wow.
We could be seeing something in the future.
I've also put together an exploratory committee to start developing my own Mark IV. Iron Man armor, because I happen to like the Mark IV armor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll have that soon as well. Right around the same time Eat Stuff launches.
And with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all episodes, by saying goodnight, Amy's Baking Company, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.